statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, given much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Evening in faith, to continue to believe and trust God, no matter what it looks like, whatever we're going through. We still have to remember that each day we walk by faith and not by sight. And we're calling our teaching today, "Our faith is to stop us looking at the forbidden fruit." Our faith is to stop us looking at the forbidden fruit. And I want to take this from something very familiar we know in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, Genesis 3, verses 1 to 5, where we see the serpent tempts, and he does it through the eye gate, through the lamp of the eye. See, our eyes light up what we see, and we are to see certain things, and there are other things that we're not to see or to dwell upon. And we see how subtle the serpent is. And it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will see like God, knowing good and evil.'" So he's already planting a suggestion in her mind. He's going right to the eye gate, because he knows that when eyes are open, you see. Because it's the eye is the lamp into the body. And so he knows exactly where to attack. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." So we see, after he plants suggestions into her mind, he's twisting the word of God, he's challenging God's word, he's trying to bring it into logic, into understanding, And she begins to listen. And he suggests that you won't die if you eat of this. You won't die if you touch it, and so on. And the serpent then says to the woman, you will not die if you eat of this. And he said, God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So he's suggesting and showing that God sees better than she does, which of course he does, and he's saying that he sees good and evil. He's using these words, good, evil, which he's not really sure about, because they're made innocent, they're made in God's image, they don't really know what's going on here, other than that he's questioning, he's putting thoughts into her mind. This is all new. And then with what he suggests and puts into her mind, she then begins to look at the tree and to see it's pleasant, it's good. Yes, it is good for food. I haven't seen it like that before. We're not to look at it, we're not to dwell on it. We're not to study it, you see. And you can see what he's doing. And she, through the eye, she sees it's pleasant to the eyes. Of course it is. It always is when the devil tries to deceive us and seduce us. And a tree desirable to make one wise. And she took its fruit. Of course, she didn't know that by taking that, it would make them wise or whatever it is. We know the rest of the story. They know they've done wrong. And the next thing is they're hiding from God. And they try to cover up their nakedness. Their eyes have now been opened up to see far more than God wanted them to see. And I stress all of this because Satan's tactics, how he works, do not change. And we've all fallen victim to it. And he will always suggest it's for you. It will appeal for self. It will make you feel good. You will feel nice. And so on. It will give you pleasure. And we've all succumbed to that. And so we see that his tactics, they never change. And so because man has fallen, we see now that God has to provide. And he provides this covering. And he covers their nakedness. And here is the first indication that God has to cover sin, unbelief. That covering where he killed the first victim to cover them, the shedding of blood, this is God doing this. This is a covering, a type that was to come for us, that Jesus Christ now is our covering through his blood that he shed for us at Calvary. And this is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Because we are in a world where there is forbidden fruit. We should not look or observe and take it in. But at times we fall short, and we do. And of course, we are living now in a generation, this last generation, which we believe that is so alluring to the eye gate that it just takes the power and the grace and mercy of God for us to overcome, to be able to turn away and not observe and take it in. And we know that each day we are confronted with things that we know at times we shouldn't look at, or we shouldn't study, take it in, just turn away. But we need the power of God, the mercy of God, to help us to turn away. And this, of course, is where the cross comes in, that we are to take up daily and follow the Lord. The cross will deal with the flesh life, the selfish life, the heart, where we lust for these things. And of course, this is why we have the blood of the Lamb, and thank God for the blood of Jesus that is ever available, ever powerful, ever flowing. And as we can see in Revelation 12 and verse 11, Revelation 12 and verse 11, which we know very well, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. And there is the deeper life principle. It says that they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, we believe in the power of that blood that has dealt with our sin, that's cast it away as far as the east is to the west. And by the word of their testimony, in other words, the word of God, our confession, our belief in the blood of the Lamb, which comes by teaching, comes by the word as we hear it. And they did not love their lives unto death. There is the cross that you take up daily and follow, that death to the self life. We die daily that the life of Christ may be manifested in us, as the Apostle Paul also said, no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. There it is. That is how the overcomers overcome in these last days. That is in Revelation 12 about the man-child, about the snatching away, the rapture. The rapture will occur and happen to those who are diligent, who deal with sin, shortcoming, getting it under the blood, staying with the word of God, believing that word, and allowing that cross that we take up daily to do its work. There it is. That is the deeper life in the Spirit. So we see then there's that faith first in the blood of Jesus, that Lamb that's slain from the foundation of the world. And this will always deal with our sin and our unbelief. This is why I keep saying, if you have fallen short of the standard, the mark, get it under the blood quickly. Why? Because your faith will soon be affected. You won't be able to hear the word of God properly, because sin gets in the way, unbelief gets in the way. And so he's provided for that, so that we can hear by faith as we hear that word. And God knows all of this. And this is why he's left this in the world, that we're going to fall at times. And we do, sadly. But God is ever working, always within these things, because we know that everything works together for good. And there is another reason for our faith in the blood, because the walk that we're in takes a lifetime. That's why. And some of us have been in this walk 10, 20, 30, 40 years and more. It's a lifetime. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, as we would never, ever be able to walk that walk. And eventually we're able to look away from the forbidden fruit, which is often appeals to the self, the pride, greed, lust, what I want, you see. And eventually we get it. eventually we find we turn away because he's worked it within the heart, both to will and do for his good pleasure. So that is the first thing then, how we overcome by looking at this forbidden fruit that we're not to do, because we're taking this principle here back in Genesis 3, 1 to 5, because that is how it happens. That is how the first sin happened. And that is one of the main areas Satan always attacks, because he knows that is our weakness. You see, we look at things at times we shouldn't look at. We begin to observe and take it in and study. And the eye, which is the lamp that lights up, it starts to light up the reason, the mind. You begin to talk. You begin to flirt with it. You begin to think, well, it's not so bad after all. You see? Nothing new under the sun at all. Well, secondly, they overcome, which we've read there in verse 11, by the word. And this is holding on to God's promises. We choose to believe what he says over the forbidden fruit that Satan at times tries to tempt us with. So our confession is that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He which hath begun that good work in me will complete and finish it. Whatever's happening, however the devil's trying to attack, the word of God is on my side. It is my sword. It is what I wield with. It's what I speak to the powers of darkness to, you see. And there are times you are going to have to do that. You are going to have to speak to the powers of darkness, God's word. It isn't your word, it's what he says. And you are able to do that when you believe upon it. And very often that speaking to the powers of darkness, the word of God, is acting your faith. Because sometimes we think, oh, I don't really act my faith. Well, here you are. That is acting your faith. And keep confessing it, believing it. And eventually the devil has to release his hold. Because Satan always tries to tempt on opening our eyes. That is where he will attack so many times. And then the unbelief starts, and then the confusion and wrong thinking and wrong doctrine and so on. We see so much of that going on in Christendom. A lot of brothers and sisters sadly are confused. They listen to wrong teaching. And that is exactly what he wants to do. Because he always tries to tempt us in opening our eyes. And he'll open our eyes in the most subtle ways. Well, this church must be a very good church. It must be anointed. Look at the amount of people that go. Look how many seats there are in this auditorium. Look how many preachers and teachers they have. Look at the outreach they have. It must be anointed. See, there's the eyes working, but not necessarily at all. Jesus said, narrow is the way. Few there be that go that way. Broad is the way. Many go that way to destruction. I'm not influenced at all by numbers. But there's the weakness with some. It's got to be of God. And then they get involved with these ministries, and the next thing happens, confusion starts, unbelief, because there's poison in the teaching. It's very subtle. But it starts with the eyes every time. And that's why we overcome, because we don't compromise on the truth, on the word. Even though I may be struggling with it, even though it may have my name and address on it, and very often it does, we have settled to the fact I'm not compromising, because this is my deliverance. This is what's going to get me into the kingdom of God. And whatever's happening in your life, we're maybe not in that place that we would like to be. I'm not in that place of faith yet that I would like to be. There's still so much, it seems, to be done in my life. There's still areas I compromise in. And so it goes on. But you still keep coming, you still keep listening, because you're not going to look at that forbidden fruit. And that forbidden fruit can be in numerous ways. What does it say in Psalm 119? Here's a good promise here for us. Psalm 119 and verse 37. Psalm 119 and verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant. Here he is, battling with the eyes, been looking at things he shouldn't look at. And he's saying, Lord, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. He's asking God, work in this area. Help me to overcome. Help me not to look too much at these things, but to turn away. Revive me in your word. He sees it's the word of God that is going to do it. Establish your word. In other words, put your word in my heart more than what my eyes are trying to look at. You see? How many of you seen that there in the word of God? How many of you seen that that is a promise, a prayer you can pray and ask God? You see, our God is merciful, isn't it? He knows our weaknesses. He knows we overcome these things. But he's provided it all through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of God. That's why we're without excuse, you see. Hallelujah. And thirdly, we love not our lives, as it says in verse 11. Of Revelation 12, because that is speaking about the overcomers. He says, love not your lives. Here is your discipleship. Here is the cross that you take up daily and follow the Lord. This is why discipleship is so important. You have to settle it. You have to put your hands to that plow. There's no looking back. You simply keep going forward. Whatever it is, how bad you may have fallen, whatever the circumstances, how vocal the devil may be, it doesn't matter. Your hand is on that plow. And that is even the grace and mercy of God. And that cross that you take up, that you confess daily before you get out of bed. And then looking at that forbidden fruit will get you looking away. You will find the power of God saying, no, I'm not entertaining this. I'm not looking at this. This is the devil at work. You will find that there is a power working on your behalf and in your heart to enable and help you to look away. You cannot look away in yourself. Don't even think you can. There are many Christians, sadly, who are deceiving themselves. I have strength to look away from these things. I don't entertain them. You wait. They'll eventually fall. Why? Because that is pride talking. That is self overcoming, and you never will. It is only the crucified life. It is only the cross that you bear each day that will work that death, and from that death will come that resurrection. What is that resurrection? It is the power of God raising you up. It is the power of God, you saying no. That is how you overcome. And you will find you begin to look away. You'll find that your consecration is not hindered. Your discipleship isn't hindered. It gives you more time with God, walking in the Spirit, looking away from these things. And you'll find that walking in the Spirit will consume your time 24/7. Romans 8. This is how he does it. Not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. We can't go wrong in this. Don't keep listening to the devil's lies. God has made no mistake. He's called you to be an overcomer. As he's showing us clearly, all he wants of us is to do what he says, to yield over to him. As we have seen back in Revelation 12:11, let's read it again. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So you know what to do with the precious blood of Jesus. It is my overcoming. It is my confession. It is dealing with my weakness, my unbelief. And by the word of their testimony. My testimony is in God's word and faithfulness. And I believe and confess these promises. Doesn't matter what it looks like, what it feels like, or it's getting worse. Very often it does. And they did not love their lives to death, because I am crucified with Christ. I die daily that the life of Christ may manifest and live his life in and through me. That is the deeper life principle. And that is how you overcome and stop looking at that forbidden fruit. Because that is where Satan tries to get us, to trap us. But, praise God, the good news is that Jesus has overcome all things, the spirit of this age. He overcame that temptation when he was taken into the wilderness for 40 days. Satan was trying exactly the same there with him. He overcame that in order now that you and I can overcome in and through him. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. As he has overcome, so I overcome also by the grace and mercy of God. And there we are. Our faith is to stop us looking at the forbidden fruit. Well, I trust it's been a blessing to you. It's just a short exhortation this evening. But God loves us. He's faithful. And he's getting us to overcome in all these things, because we're not far away from the coming of the Lord, when he's going to come for us in the clouds and take us up into glory with him. What a wonderful day and rejoicing that will be. Hallelujah. And that's why we look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh.
Of God.